Hello, my name is Kevin Deming. I'm the adult life pastor here, and just because I've had a few people mention it, I have lost a lot of weight intentionally and purposeful. I've also got glasses on, so I look a little different. I do want you to know, I know the idea of glasses, I get it. Yeah, Clark Kent did it, he looks like a totally different person. So yes, I am the same person, but I'm wearing glasses, so with that. But if we would, love to pray to start us off. Heavenly Father God, I just thank you so much for your grace, your truth, your love. I thank you, God, that you care about us so much. I pray that we would stop for just a moment today to really begin to consider what it is you want to show us about who you are and about your love and your grace. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So I know about a lot of you, but I grew up in Atlanta with a family that would get together on the holidays and birthdays and all of that, extended family, cousins, aunts, uncles, and grandparents. And I remember getting together at my grandparents' house or at my cousin's house and things like that. And I remember to come time for dinner, my uncle was always the person who made sure he was last in line. He was always going to be last in line. You were never going to be behind him. And he was always that way and just wanting to make sure he was showing, put others before himself in that. I don't know if anyone in your family is kind of like that, but that was my uncle. Well, when I married my wife, and my wife was named Becca. She's up here. She was singing earlier. When I married her and she started coming to our dinners and family gatherings with us, one of the things I realized is she, too, also loved to be last in line and put others before herself and kind and generous and giving that way. And so oftentimes I like to sit back and watch the battle and see who was actually going to be last. And you'd see them kind of standing behind each other, and then they would kind of go at each other a little bit. And every now and then I'd see my wife would go in another room and do something else, so he'd be forced to do it. But typically, because she's so kind and giving, she would always give in and go before him so he could win in that way. But it was always fun to watch the battle for who could be the kindest person in that way. Also, I remember one time we were sitting there with my cousins, and I was probably in my 20s, and my cousins were about 10 years younger than me, and so they were in their teenage years, and we were standing in line getting our burgers and hot dogs and all the delicious stuff that there is there, and my cousin, he had already gotten in line, and he had his plate and was sitting there ready to go with the next thing and kind of waiting behind somebody, and his sister was right behind him. Now, she was getting her hot dog, and she was going to put mustard on her hot dog. And now I know, mustard hot dogs is a good thing. You know, you're with me, right? So she was getting her mustard out. She pulled it out, and as oftentimes what happens with condiments and bottles is they can get stuck a little bit, and you know, and we're pretty good aim typically. You got the hot dog and you got the mustard. We're pretty good aim, right? But every now and then it kind of sticks and a burst of air shoots out and more of it goes out in a direction that is not intended. Well, this kind of happened with them. She was there and she was getting ready to squirt it, and it went out, and all of a sudden it just spewed out all over his arm. And I stood back thinking to myself, I cannot wait to see the fireworks. This is going to be great. So he's sitting there, standing there. He's got mustard on his arm. She's got the mustard in her hand. I'm sitting there going, okay, I can't wait. It happens. And he does what, of course, every typical teenager would do. And he turns around. He looks at her. He walks over, gets a paper towel, wipes it off, and goes back in line. I actually said, wait a minute, time out. I said, did you not see she squirted you with mustard? Why didn't you yell at her? Why didn't you throw things? Because, of course, I would probably have been upset and bothered. It would have bothered me. And he's like, well, she didn't mean to. It was an accident. I'm like, that just doesn't make sense to me. You know, I'm like that so often in life. I feel like when I see kindness expressed, when it doesn't make sense, that stands out to me. And we're going to be talking about that idea of kindness and goodness and gentleness today as we look at continuing the series 9 that we've been talking about. Now, when we first began talking about this series, Tim started about talking about a month ago, a little over a month ago. We were really looking based on the passage in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And we look at this passage and it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And what I loved about the first week of this series, if you haven't watched it, I encourage you to go back and see it. Tim really laid out how that these qualities that are listed here are not ones that we can achieve by our own self-effort. We can't do these ourselves to the quality that we want to see expressed the way God desires. But these are called the fruit of the Spirit. And every believer in Christ has the Holy Spirit. So if you place your faith and trust in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. And with that, we can see God's Spirit working in us to produce these qualities more and more in our life. And I think that key is through all of this whole series, understanding and knowing that is so important to that. And the second week, he focused how love, being the first one, is one of the most important ones. And we can begin to see that it's kind of the foundation to all the other fruit in our lives. A couple weeks ago, Tim talked about how joy, true joy, was found in Jesus and is found in Christ. And then last week, we talked more about peace and patience and the idea that our peace with God impacts our peace with others. And today, we're going to be kind of taking three of these and looking at them and the idea of kindness, goodness, and gentleness. Now, we're bringing these three together because, in a sense, they all three really are interchangeable in a lot of ways. A lot of the ways you word things and say things, you can use them in different, they're synonymous in a lot of ways. But we're also going to be looking at how they're a little bit different and how we can have these expressed in our life in that way. So for us today, the main kind of point we want to get to today is this. In order for us to love people well when it doesn't make sense, because that's when the hardest, you know? When it doesn't make sense, when it's the hardest, and it's so tough to love people well, we need the fruit of kindness, goodness, and gentleness overflowing in our lives. We need that fruit to be expressive in our life in order for us to truly love people well when it doesn't make sense. And for you, I don't know about you, but for me, it can really be hard. It can be difficult when people don't act the way that I think they should, you know? When maybe your spouses or family members say things that hurt you with their words, or you're treated unfairly somewhere, or maybe you're left out of something, it's really hard to show kindness and goodness and gentleness when you have people that are mistreating you. In fact, oftentimes, as Paul is talking about here, and he's showing these fruit here, we begin to see in Galatians 5:26, he continues with, "We must not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another." The idea here is that he mentions this right after he gives the list of the fruit, exemplifying that if we're not expressing the fruit of the Spirit in our life, then this is oftentimes the result. The result is that we become conceited. We provoke each other or envy one another. And I don't know about you, but me, definitely, when this is happening in my life or in others, it's very difficult for me to really show love and to love people well. I don't necessarily even want to be kind to people who are like this sometimes. And it's hard. And I know it's tough. I'm like, I don't know that I want to do that. But I know I need to. And so for me, I kind of narrowed down three basic areas where I feel like that it's difficult for us to show love to people. It's hard to be loving when in three different scenarios. The first one is this, when someone's a jerk. And I could have said when someone's mean or like that, but the truth of it is when someone's a jerk, that means they have mistreated you. They're mean to a level where it just frustrates you. And for me to want to be kind or good or gentle with someone who's being a jerk to me, well, I don't want to. You know, I know Tim oftentimes uses illustrations of driving, but you know, someone cuts you off in traffic and they maybe give you a gesture that you don't love and you're thinking, man, I don't want to be kind, you know? I don't want to. I'm really hoping they get caught or that something happens and we find ourselves feeling that way. The other thing is when someone is too busy. And I bring this one up because oftentimes, you know what happens, right? When someone's really busy, whether it's someone you're married to in a relationship with or it's a sibling or a coworker or any of those things, oftentimes we're busy, we begin to neglect people. We focus on the task so much so we miss being able to love people. And when sometimes when people are busy, they brush you off when all you know, and you don't understand why. And so it can produce in you this little bit of, wait a minute, why did you brush me off, you know? Why are you too busy for me? And we can become hurt. And so for me to want to be kind to someone like that, it's hard. My response of gentleness isn't really good there. And the other one is when someone is right, or I could say when they think they're right. You know what I'm talking about, right? when someone comes at you and you can tell that they're always trying to say, oh yeah, I'm right, and then you're trying to have a conversation with them and they make you feel small. They make you feel small because you don't agree with them or you don't think the way they do, and they can come across small, and all I'm thinking to myself is, I get frustrated inside, and I don't want you to be right. And I want to make sure you're known you're not right, and so therefore I can come across that way too. But it's hard for me to love people well when they always think they're right and they're telling me that, and they're making me feel small in the process. And so for me, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to love people with kindness and goodness and gentleness. It's a struggle when things don't make sense and when people don't treat us the way we think they should. And so for me, in order for me to really begin to think, all right, when am I not showing kindness? When am I not showing goodness? When am I not showing gentleness? I want to understand what that looks like. And so to me, because these three words are so interchangeable, and I feel like they can kind of overlap, and sometimes one defines the other, I wanted to give you kind of a way I think it helps clarify in a more of a practical sense of the difference between the three. So let's take a look at kindness. So kindness is actually the act of using loving words and actions towards others. So it's the actual words and the actual deeds that you do. Are they kind deeds? Are they kind words? And so begin to think about that in that perspective. Goodness is the motive or the heart behind using loving words and actions towards others. So it's the heart behind it. What's the motive behind what you're doing and why you're doing it? Is it because you genuinely want to love them, or is it because you want them to feel bad, or you want them to do something like that? So you begin, sometimes we'll do kind deeds to someone, but our heart is not right at all in it and there. And that's where goodness comes into play. And the third one is gentleness. And that's the way that we express the loving words and actions towards others. It's our approach. It's the tone of voice. It's how we say and do things. It's the way that we come across to people. Are we gentle in our approach in that? And so let's look back first at kindness. Kindness, of course, is the act of using loving words and actions towards others. It's the actual actions and deeds. Let's take a look at a quote by G.S. Bowes. He said this, "The very word kindness comes from the cognate word kind, that is, one of the same kin or race, acknowledging or reminding us of the fact that all men are brethren, all of the same blood, and therefore they should be all act as brethren. All who are the same kindred should be kind." The word kindness comes from the idea of kin. And in a sense, and most of us, we get that we do show love towards family in a way that's above others, above strangers. You know, if you're going to do that, we typically give family the benefit of the doubt. Now, I'll make a side note here. I recognize sometimes family are the worst people we treat too, and I get that. But as a whole, we tend to treat family better than people that we don't know. And that's the idea of being kind and the kindred there. For me, when I look at my family and look at how they've been treating each other, I look at my two sons, David and Micah. David is 18, just graduated high school and heading into going to WVU next year. And Micah is 16 and going to be a junior at UHS. And when I think about them, I've seen them over the years really exemplify some of these qualities of kindness, goodness, and gentleness. Now, I'll preface this story I'm about to tell you with they are teenage boys, and just like we are people, sometimes we have to all work on certain areas. None of us are perfect in that. But I did see something a couple months ago that really stood out to me that showed me that both of them had just some of these qualities and they were expressing that. And it was a couple months right after Easter. My boys were driving to school. Micah drove first. He was kind of left a few minutes before David. David got off early. He got off school earlier senior year, and so they drove separately, and Micah had to stay after for some things he was doing. So he drove first, and it was kind of rainy that day, and as usual, you know, you see them off and pray for them and all that, but as he went off, about 10 minutes later, we get a phone call from Micah, and he's like, I've been in a I've been in an accident. Everything's okay. I'm fine. And you're like, oh my gosh. So you're kind of freaking out. And actually, no, we were calm. We're sitting there. Okay, great. That's awesome. You know, no, we were like, what? You know, we don't know the details. And he said, don't worry. I'm okay. No problem. Someone ran in the back of me. I'm fine. Don't, you know, like that. And so we called David, who we knew was behind him, and said, hey, you're going to be coming up on Micah. Pull over and just make sure he's okay. And of course, you know, we casually get on our shoes and go out. Now we're like scrambling and we're like, what's going to, you know, we're getting in the car. My wife and I are trying to get over there. So we pull up there and they're standing there and the police officer's already there. I had to give him a couple of things that was going on. Actually, Micah just got his car and a tag and we had to give him that and stuff like that. So he's taking care of all that. And there was a young man that had hit him. He was probably young 20s. It was his first accident and they were talking and we began to talk to him a little bit. And as we were leaving, he looked at us and he said this. He said, I'm so glad that my first accident was with you guys because you guys have been so nice and kind and I really appreciate it. And I thought to myself, you know, for me, I was kind of panicky and stuff like that, but to see Micah get out, handle it, not be upset, not be angry, some of that, I was like, wow, that's just such an incredible way. That was a great story for this person to see that response was so good. And for me to see that. A little bit later on that day, we got home, and Micah was still out at school and doing that, and I remember walking by Micah's room, and I looked in on the bed, and I noticed something. I noticed there was, like, something on his bed. I'm like, what is that? I walked in there, and there was, like, bags of candy, bags of jelly beans. It was right after Easter, 50% off. They had that, you know, candy, and there was just, like, 2-foot giant chocolate bunny and all this stuff laying in there. I'm like, what is this? And so I asked Becca, I'm like, what is all this stuff? And she said, I don't know. So I called David up and I said, what is this? He said, well, Micah had a really hard day and I just wanted to make sure he felt good. And so I gave him all this candy. I'm like, wow, that's pretty impressive. I was like, that's pretty cool. I don't know that I would have thought of doing that, but that was really cool. And so for me, as I begin to see, and a little bit later on, I'm actually going to tell you why I think they're responding the way they did in that. I think I'm going to kind of, we'll cover that in a few minutes. But, you know, not always loving towards each other, but the idea is that those were exemplified in moments when you feel like maybe it shouldn't be that way. It's harder to be that way. With that. But that's what kind of the idea of kindness is. It's the actual words and the actions you use in order to express love to others. The next part here is to look at is the word goodness. Now, we've talked about that. That's the motive or the heart behind using loving words and actions towards others. Easton's Bible Dictionary says this. It says, goodness in man is not a mere passive quality, but the deliberate preference of right to wrong, the firm and persistent resistance of all moral evil, and the choosing and following of all moral good. Now, the word goodness comes from the root word, which comes from benevolent, or bene, or benevolent. And that idea of benevolent is when you, the act of giving aid to someone rather than trying to make a profit on them. It's that motive behind why you're doing good. It's that idea of when my son David bought all that candy and stuff, which maybe there would have been something better to buy, but hey, candy's good for us all, right? But the idea of giving him candy was to make him feel better. There was no profit on his end. He didn't even tell us he was doing it. It was more of he wanted his brother to feel better in that setting. And so for us, it's this the desire characterized by goodness to be and do good. It's not just to do good, but it's also to be good. And I think there's a level of that is that I want, my motive in my heart is for good for others as well as good for what's going on in my life. And so for me, I want to make sure that my heart and the motive behind why I'm doing something is able to love people well and does have their best interest in mind. The third thing we're talking about is gentleness. And gentleness, remember, is the way or the approach that we express the loving words and actions towards others. Here we see that definition is sensitivity of disposition and kindness of behavior. You see the word kindness, it defines gentleness, is founded on strength and prompted by love. A lot of times we think gentleness is a weakness, but the truth of it is gentleness is a strength. And when we go through something hard and difficult and we're able to respond with gentleness, that's strength in doing that. The easy thing is to fly off the handle or be upset, or you know, me jumping out of the car and like, why did you hit me in the back of my car? That's the easy thing to do in that. Gentleness has restraint, strength in that, and able to say that. It's a noun that means the goodness of heart and gracious. The idea of gentleness is focused on the way that we express our words and action. I look at when my son Micah had the accident. The way that he expressed that made the person who hit the back of his car feel like, oh, this was okay. I'm okay because you were kind to me and you were good to me in that. Now, for me, when he said, hey, I'm glad you're the one that I hit, I'm thinking, no, I'm not glad you're the one that he hit, which, you know, which wouldn't I hit at all. But that it was that kind of example was good. And for us, when we're thinking about how we want to respond with our approach, well, one of my favorite verses that I've used for years since I was in college to help me kind of guide me in this comes from Proverbs 15:1. It says, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The way that we respond can either promote love or it can begin to promote anger in someone. Our purpose should be to give grace to others, and the way we should do it should be gentle in our approach. So how many times has our approach to others and the way we say something messed up something else because of our intent behind it? Paul also talks about how we should use our words from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He says, no foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, to give grace to those who hear. This idea is this, that we should only be speaking things that are helpful for building others up. When we think about kindness, goodness, and gentleness, if our goal is to build someone up, then the actual words or the kindness we show and the goodness we have, the heart and the motive behind it, and the way that we say something, the way that we approach with gentleness would reflect and be able to love them well. If we're building them up, we should be thinking about those three things. What are the actual words and deeds I'm doing? What is the heart and motive behind what I'm doing? And what is the approach that I'm taking in that? Now, for us, as we begin thinking about this, and think about kindness, goodness, and gentleness, we realize we don't always express those in our lives. I think for us, we can acknowledge that we need to grow in one, two, maybe all three of these areas. I think on our own, we can try to improve. And that's something I want us to know is that we can, because we know our relationships will be better, we can actually become a little more kind. We can try to help our motive and our heart behind things. And we can focus more on being gentle on our own a little bit. But as we've talked about, that the fruit of the Spirit in our life of kindness, goodness, and gentleness isn't obtained by just our self-effort. It's not obtained because I have said, yes, this is what I want to do better. It's obtained through that relationship with Jesus Christ. It comes through a God working in and through our lives. And I think seeing that when I place my faith and trust in Christ, when I now belong to Christ, I have a relationship with Him, and God gives me the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in my life was given to guide me in God's truth and to give me the fruit of the Spirit to express my love for God and others in a way that I can't do on my own. I can't do it on my own self-effort. I need God to help me in that. I need when things don't make sense. I need when someone's being a jerk to me. I need for God to help me love them because I struggle with it. I need when someone is too busy for me and they're tired and they're frustrated and they respond to me with unkind words or they brush me off. I need God to help me to show kindness and goodness and love towards them and gentleness because I don't do that well. And when I'm praying about these things and I'm thinking about these things, I begin to see God is the one who in me helps overflow in my heart, express in my heart kindness, goodness, and also gentleness. And think about it, when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking about different people that I'm struggling with, the one thing I realize is that I can ask the question, well, okay, Kevin, I get it, you struggle with that. Well, why should I even care about loving people who are mistreat me? And the truth of it is this, and the really heart of it, is that when it comes down to it, I am that jerk to people sometimes. When it comes down to it, I am too busy for people sometimes, and I brush them off. And when it comes down to it, I am someone who thinks I'm right, and I sometimes make people feel small. And if I am doing those things, I want other people to be gracious to me. And if I expect them to be gracious to me, then shouldn't I also be gracious to them? I think about how God is gracious to me and giving grace to me when I don't deserve it. He's given that grace to me. And I begin to think about that. I'm like, wait a minute here. I know I respond that. You know the verse it says, do unto others as they have you do unto you. What it doesn't say is do unto others as they do unto you. And that's a big difference. If I treat people the way they treat me, well, then we're going to go back and forth. If they're kind and good, well, I got that. I could be kind and good to you. But if you're mean to me then, okay, well, then I'll be mean to you. But if we treat people as we want them to treat us, then you know what? When someone's having a rough day, and maybe they are struggling a little bit with mistreating me or saying things that are wrong or mean or things like that. But what if I'm kind to them? It talks about in Proverbs 15:1 that will put away anger and wrath if I respond gently to them. And so that's the heart of it. But the truth of it is knowing that I can't do this on my own self-effort. I need God to help me with it. I do want to preface this because I do think there are some times when we are mistreated in a dangerous situation. I'm not saying just be quick to forgive and let it go. If you're in a dangerous situation where someone's mistreating you, get help. Talk to somebody. Talk to a staff member here. Talk to somebody you trust. Get help with that. I'm referring to the type of relationships where, you know, we're just quick-tempered and we get off the handle a little bit and we mistreat people. That's the time where I want to show kindness in situations like that, even though I'm not good at it. So knowing that, too, God loves everyone. He loves me. And you know what? Just as I want people to treat me with the kindness, goodness, and gentleness, if I'm mistreating someone else, then I'm mistreating someone else who God loves desperately. And I don't want to treat someone who God loves in a way that doesn't honor him. And that's something that I need God to work in my life and to help me with. So for us today, as we begin thinking about this thought of why we need God and the fruit of the Spirit, for us to really, in order to love people well, when it doesn't make sense, when it's hard, when it's tough, we need the fruit of kindness, goodness, and gentleness overflowing in our lives. So in order for us to have that, there's really three things that I want us to look at our response to that, to know we have that in our life. Number one, make sure you belong to Christ. Make sure you have a relationship with Jesus. What that means is that you put your faith and trust in who God is and that you understand that God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to come to live the earth, a perfect life. He didn't deserve to die, but because of my sin, I've been separated from God and I can't fix that on my own self-effort. Just as we talked about, we can't have the fruit of the Spirit on my own. I can't solve my problem of being sinful to a holy God on my own. I need Jesus. And so what we do is we put our faith and trust that Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, and the fact that he raised again. If I trust him, not how good I am, not whether I come to church or I've done good things, but whether I trust Christ has done enough for me. When I've done that, then God restores me into a relationship with him. And that's when I belong to Christ. And God adopts me as his kids and his children. And that's a beautiful thing. And when that happens, God gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to convict us of sin, to guide us in all truth, and to express the fruit of the Spirit in our lives so we can live and reflect the glory and essence of God in all that we do. The second thing we need to do is evaluate which is the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, which we talked about, was the actual words and deeds we do. Goodness, the motive, what's our motive behind what we're doing, saying, thinking. And gentleness, it's the way we approach, it's the tone of voice, it's the way we say things, it's the way we do things. Which one of these areas do we need God to grow you the most in your life? Maybe you're like all three, or maybe you're like one particularly really scenario you're struggling with. And what I want to do is for me, I want to know those areas. So I pray regularly, God, show me the areas when I'm not living that out. And for us, if we begin to pray those things, God does something really cool. And it begins to work in our lives. Or maybe we need to say, God, who am I being a jerk to? Who am I showing I'm too busy for? Who am I somebody that I make feel small because I say that I'm right and I do that? And God, show me when I do those things. Because once again, if it's not about me just fixing it and doing it better, if it's about God doing that, The first step is for me to be aware and begin to do the third thing here, and that is to pray. Pray for the fruit of the Spirit in your life and others. Remember, I mentioned earlier about my sons exemplifying these qualities of kindness, goodness, and gentleness in their life. I tell you, it's not because I've got this manual of being a great parent down. There's many times you ask them. I know there's times where I have not done well, or I'm not responding the best way, and all this. And you know what? There's times where, you know, sometimes you wish they would just make the bed, clean the room, cut the grass, all that stuff. I mean, you know, those are the things that we all struggle with. But I will tell you, the reason why I think these qualities are reflected more in their life is because since they were babies, as their dad, I've gotten on my knees above them and I've been praying for them, praying for the fruit of the Spirit in life, praying for God to use them. And I pray regularly. I pray that for my life. I pray it for my wife. I pray it for my family. I pray it for people that I'm struggling with. I pray because I know for whatever reason, God has chosen to use the power of prayer to use to do his work in and through our lives. For me, I can't be kind enough on my own. I can't be good enough on my own. I can't do those things enough on my own. But by praying and asking God to and the Holy Spirit to change me, to make me more like him, that changes so much. We should be praying for our family, praying for people. When we all of a sudden are faced with something and someone mistreats us and we're thinking about mistreating them right back or saying something right back, stop. Say, God, pray the Holy Spirit would help me to be kind and loving and good and gentle in my response. And God can help you do that. Not because I'm good enough. I fail at that on my own all the time. It's when God reminds me in the power of his Holy Spirit working in my life, that's what changes me. And that helps my relationships. It helps so much of what it is. So that's really the heart of it. The heart of it is knowing that when it's hard, it doesn't make sense. Are we stopping and praying for God to work in and through our lives to see our relationships better and to see people's lives change? And if we do that, I think you're going to see God really transform you and the fruit of the Spirit really being expressed in your life. Now, today we're going to have some people from the prayer team down front. I want to encourage you, maybe you're someone here that needs to pray and ask for God to show you some of these areas, or maybe you want to pray for some of these specific things, talk to them about it, or maybe there's someone that's been mistreating you and hurting you and you want God to begin to work in your life on how you can show the love of Christ to them through kindness and goodness and gentleness. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your love. God, you're a good God, and you're a kind God, and you're a gentle God, and everything you do. And God, I thank you that in the middle of my life, when I fail at this over and over again, you love me enough to continue to grow this in me so that next year and next time, my life shows more kindness and goodness and gentleness because of what you're doing in and through me. God, I pray that we would look to you and ask, what are the areas of our lives that we're struggling with? What are the areas that we need you to intervene in? And what fruit of the Spirit really should be expressed more and more in our lives? We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.